Yeah, I think you're really onto something here. Let me share what I'm getting.
Okay.
Part of what's happened, what needs to happen is the right brain needs to be brought into the left brain and the left brain needs to be brought into the right brain. But it's not so much thinking of that corpus callosum as the bridge, but re-instigating that the brain is a whole. Both hemispheres are whole.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really, it's a misnomer to think that one is more of one thing than the other. That's another thought form that has actually helped us divide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even scientifically accurate is what they're telling me right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that the brain is holographic everywhere within itself. So everything and every function is everywhere in the brain. Just like you are everywhere in the universe by virtue of the hologram. And I wrote this post about that on my Facebook page, that we're literally everywhere. And that when you ask where a master comes from, he or she comes from everywhere, because the hologram, everything is everything within any little piece of the hologram, it contains the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the miracle. And the brain is the same way. So whatever you can do to balance your own brain and others by helping them reclaim the wholeness, the intrinsic wholeness of their brain, not the right-left hemisphere thought form. That's what they're showing me now. Isn't that interesting? Now, I never thought of that. They're saying, stop with that.
Right.
They're saying, that's like the alphabet coming in and inserting itself and creating division.
Mm-hmm.
See the brain as a whole on. Stop with the negative, positive, masculine, feminine, light, right brain, left brain, rational, intuitive. Stop that shit is what they're saying. They're saying, see it as all. If you can help people to do that and start by investigating and experimenting in your own brain with that imagery, you're going to be giving a big service. So why don't we just help you do that right now? Working with that thought form, let's have you balance your brain completely.
Yeah, you know what I'm seeing is a triangle or a pyramid.
Okay.
So, yeah, instead of seeing two sides of the brain separated, I see them
right.
working as one in a triangle, and
great.
The third eye being the top of the triangle.
Wow.
Wow.
So, where does the triangle go then? Does it go?
Well, it's just showing that how I'm interpreting this is that the pineal gland is, or the third eye is the tip of the triangle. How we interpret the world, instead of through our two eyes, that being sort of more separated. If we see sort of from a third eye perspective, we see the macro, or we see the bigger picture.
Yeah, and it comes into stereoscopic view.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It comes into higher dimensional view. Oh my God. This is profound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but say more about the pyramid, because I'm trying to get the visual, because this is going to be important for what you show people.
Well, I'm seeing the pineal gland as the top of the pyramid.
So the rest of the pyramid is below below the nose, or
yeah. It's more symbolic of how information comes in, and then it is offered to both sides of the brain.
Okay.
In the shape of the triangle.
Would there be another one coming down?
Yeah, the reverse of it. The visual I got when we opened the tree trunk, or
yeah.
the branches up, that's like we're the receptor of all that information coming in, and it comes in through our pineal gland, and then is or third eye, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and is offered to both sides of the brain equally.
Great. So see see that pineal gland as like central relay.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it is even needed because both sides are still, but still, there's something where it's pulsing out. It's pulsing out information
mm-hmm.
that balances and balances and balances the brain. Keeps it balancing. What I'm seeing is that some sort of program was inserted to get us lopsided.
Yeah.
And that is evil.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of the trail I've been on the last couple of days when I'm, you know, digging deeper into Leonard Schlain's work. You know, he has a lot of emphasis because he was a laparoscopic surgeon who dealt with surgery on the brains or the carotid, whatever, vein or whatever. So he was very concerned about what side of the brain operated what side of the body, and more profoundly, the hand. And so we have been conditioned to be a right-hand dominant society that relies on the left hemisphere of the brain, mainly. And then I started looking at how, in language, left-handedness is considered
evil.
Satanism,
evil.
Sinister.
Evil.
Evil. And it's pervasive through language, except for some instances. And one of them that I found really interesting was in the early Roman times. While the Incas and a few other cultures don't have languaging around negative left-handedness. It's considered wisdom and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm wondering if when language came in, when written language came in, if somehow that's when the program was inserted to weaken the left-handed,
yes,
left-handed, and make it evil because it's associated with the feminine part of the brain, I guess.
Yes, I see that. And you know what
you
else
know what
I see, Jody? In a healthy culture,
sure.
And this, I'm not sure if this even predates Native Indigenous cultures, they would raise the children to be ambidextrous,
mm-hmm.
knowing that that was critical for balancing both sides of the body.
Exactly.
And now what's happened is that we're so unambidextrous that we've become asymmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually photograph people, they look like two different people if you put the composites together, depending on what side you're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something really important with that, with ambidexterity, teaching
mm-hmm.
children like how to juggle with balls equally in both hands, or if they do write, to write equally, like right hand hour, left hand hour, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
really mastering that, because you're right, we got made to be right hand dominant, and that imbalanced us.
Exactly.
Toward the masculine. And I don't know how it works with this crisscross thing in the brain, but I still think that some of science is a program around that. That it's not really true, but they're sort of laying down tracks to make us think it's true, when in fact the whole brain is holographic.
Mm-hmm.
Right and left brain, so to speak, or whatever these qualities we think are everywhere.
Yeah.
So going back to thinking of the holographic brain is going to be more helpful. And then training humans, because they came in with two sides of the body, they're a bilateral being, you know? Most beings on our planet are bilateral. And there's something about that bilaterality that we do see it in other creatures around the universe. I mean, pretty much the bilaterality is everywhere. I'm sure there are other beings that are not bilateral. But there's some aspect of that drawing in, integrating, that we're needing to smooth it way out.
Mm-hmm.
So as this gets back to you, I think what they're encouraging you is to develop visualizations for people to do, to balance the brain back up, and then balance the body back up, starting with children, because it would be, you know, you want to start them out right, whereas now, those of us who are still trying to balance out, it's like, oh my God, not like it can't be done. But in terms of how this relates to the language,
the connection there's not.
Say it again?
I'm just trying to see the connection there.
Right. I've always been irritated whenever I've seen scientists say, well, this part of the brain governs language, this part of the brain. I'm like, that seems like bullshit to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even as a non-scientist. And now what I'm seeing is all aspects of the brain govern everything. You know, all parts, again, it's holographic. Do you know what a hologram is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Language is everywhere in the brain. You know, renal function is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual energy is everywhere. Right? So how this relates to you, and yes, that third eye is like a pulse. The pineal. That's why, you know, David Wilcock has been emphasizing this in his shows, his show Ancient Wisdom, and also Cosmic Disclosure, where there's one where they talk about the third eye, and how that it looks a little like a pine cone,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we have that image, so-called, of the pine cone in so many world religions.
Oh.
That it's talking about, it's not a pine cone, it's the pineal gland. And the very word pineal, I forget, they said it means something. And that this pineal gland actually has cells in it that are like the eye. Okay? So that's where telepathy comes in.
Okay.
That pineal gland is the central place of everything. Everything comes into the center of the brain, which is why the spinal cord comes into there, the eyes come into there. What we should be training people to do is not just stereo vision, but the softening of the gaze to come into the third eye vision. Then you can literally see clairvoyantly, and you can receive telepathic downloads, which we then translate into language, let's say.
Right.
Okay, like when I posted on Facebook that I had this telepathic conversation with this priestess of the inner earth. And it didn't come as like a stream of, you know, Q&A. It was like I was getting these hits that I had to then translate into Q&A.
And how did the hits come? Do they come as images?
Telepathic. Knowing. Direct knowing.
Okay.
It really wasn't even language. It was, but I'm so habituated into language that, see, when language started in, it was like a downgrade of telepathic communication. And when Corey Good talks about how recently in April he went down into the inner earth, he facilitated a meeting of Kar-E, the priest, the high priestess down there, with their guardian beings that they had been cut off from for a long time, and somehow Corey's presence there allowed for that bridging. He said they had a telepathic conversation for like 40 minutes, and he wasn't really privy to it, even though he's telepathic and she has communicated with him telepathically the previous time he was there. And he said afterward, it was shared with him what some of the information was, which was that the high beings were disappointed in the inner earth beings for not being good stewards of the earth, They had created deceptions with humans on the surface by telling channelers that they were this master or that Pleiadian and giving teachings but lying about who they were because they didn't want to draw attention to the inner earth and all this and that. But he was saying that it was a telepathic communication. And whenever people describe being taken up by ETs or what have you, it's always a telepathic communication. It's just a blah. You're knowing. Mm-hmm. So how did telepathic communication translate into language and sound from the throat chakra? Mm-hmm. Was this a degeneration or what happened here?
Right.
Okay. What happened here? Because the original communication is telepathic. Like when we're in a room with people, we've got everyone's number, right? Mm-hmm. We know what's going on. There's judgments and there's thoughts and there's this and there's that. And we're all lying about that. And we're like making it look all nice and linear and this and that, you know. But we're communicating telepathically all the time. So what they're trying to do is hook us back up again with our telepathic thought.
Okay.
Communication with the guides that way and communication with our through our higher self and communication with one another. Mm-hmm. So that in a sense, language will become obsolete again.
Yeah.
So where does that leave light language? Light language is a bridge back up. Like we were saying in the last several times, it is that non-verbal, non-word languaging that starts hooking people back up into telepathy. Mm-hmm. And the same channeling is coming in as came in that last time where they're saying, that's why you want to put people in a room, have a light language channeler, instruct everybody to just receive what they're receiving mm-hmm. through the light language. That's what's going to hook them up back up with telepathy, and that's your role.
Okay.
One of them. So, you know, I think you'll start feeling more and more confident once you have the Priestess of the Dove training starting and you feel like you have a little bit more guidance and a regularity with how to use your own practice and then start creating those groups.
Mm-hmm.
And or putting them out on YouTube and instructing people, just listen to what you're getting and then comment under this video.
Mm.
Okay? And each person's thing is going to be valid for them.
Yeah.
But you're teaching them back up with telepathy.
Mm-hmm. So the triangle that I'm visualizing, that's once information comes in that we decipher through our third eye, for instance, and then it's sort of pulsed into the body through to both sides of the brain or all of the brain, of course. But the triangle that is above the head, that is the receptor for information, if you will, coming in, I feel like maybe light language is just a little bit more of a bandwidth.
Yes.
Working up towards that big opening of telepathic communication.
Yes.
So it's a step.
Yes. It's a step. It's a step. Completely. You've got it. Eventually it will become obsolete as well.
Right. Now, do you think, Marguerite, is that maybe where we were at prior to, when they talk about the Tower of Babel, before that there were the ziggurats or whatever, which are similar sort of structures to pyramids, but not quite as symmetrical.
Yeah.
And so they were like 3000 BC.
Right.
And they're similar to the structures that you see in South America.
Right.
In the Mayan culture, whatever. Now, if there was some sort of jarbling of communication, I wonder if that is when all that went down.
Yeah. Let's look at this. What I'm getting again is that those things were used as artificial stargates.
Right.
Again.
Okay.
whereas the natural stargates are on mountains and so forth and other places.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So they started creating artificial ones.
Mm.
That was already an issue. Because
right.
they were no longer using the landforms of Gaia to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that use of the ziggurats enabled them to communicate with other beings that Gaia was not in agreement about.
Aha!
That's what they're showing me right now. They're saying if you use mountains naturally in alignment, you will communicate with the beings that are friendly to Earth. If you create ziggurats and whatnot and obelisks, etc., and pyramids, you're starting to screw things up.
Right.
That's what they're showing me. I get so annoyed when I see this stuff. So the Tower of Babel. It was being used as a stargate, and then that program to scramble people from being able to work telepathically and understand each other came in. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying. They're saying it scrambled telepathic communication.
Oh, Marguerite, I am goosebumping.
I know. I am having a fit over here. Okay? It came in and it scrambled telepathic communication. It wasn't just that they created languages of the world. People then had to create languages to be able to communicate after that.
Bingo.
Okay?
Yeah.
And there... Now, the question that I remain with is, was language already starting somehow? Like...
Yeah.
Okay, so that Tower of Babel, and this goes back to the light language that they were using at Delos when everybody could hear their own sound, everyone could hear their own language. It was still a method, even in the Greek times, where there were pockets where it could be done. But it was that light language to try to get people hooked back up.
Mm-hmm.
In a degenerated time after telepathic communication had gone down.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now you're building it back up. You and other light workers, are light language ones, are building up the telepathy again.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need is to have training. What are you thinking right now? What am I thinking right now? You know what I mean? And
yeah.
The thing is that people, it's too much for people because the honesty gets too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I'm thinking you look ugly right now.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that you're being an asshole, or I'm judging you. I'm thinking that you're inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, this judgment level is what's come in as we've all degenerated.
Yeah.
We used to be in positive a non-conditional regard. But that started going down as telepathy went down.
Mm-hmm.
In order to have telepathy, you have to have honesty, and people are afraid to see what's actually happening. So who the hell wants telepathy?
Mm-hmm.
And also, when your clairvoyance went down too, because who the hell wants to see reptilians?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get this, and this is the biggest impediment to people being clairvoyant and channeling is fear. Okay, so all of this stuff has gotten on like layers and layers, preventing
mm-hmm.
us from having our telepathy, our clairvoyance, our clairsentience, our clairknowing, our claircognizance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we're having to clean up our act energetically so that we can be higher vibrational frequency people and communicate telepathically in more harmonic ways.
Yeah, I'm like visualizing, you know, on the old... receivers or whatever, where you could raise the bass or lower the treble.
Right.
You know, I'm feeling like once our language is starting to become more telepathic as we raise because we can manifest so much more quickly now.
Yep.
Yeah. That as that sort of as we get used to that and we're cleaner and more loving in our thoughts and our judgments, we'll be able to communicate telepathically. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Like, we have to clean up our act.
Yeah.
So that the communications are positive.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is bringing in another thing where these supposed inner earth beings, which are civilizations and different races down there, they went down there during cataclysms and they closed off connection with the upper world for the most part, but they have these supposedly advanced civilizations down there. Telos under Mount Shasta is one. I know two people who physically have gone in. They've had 3D experiences. Corey Good talks about this, blah, blah, blah. Now, they've been coming to me since I've been listening to Corey Good, and I'm like, oh, my God. I wrote this on the Facebook page about channeling from inner earth, channeling their info. He said that they have a room that's like a football stadium with all these people, inner earth people in there, telepathing to surface humans. That this has been going on for quite some time, and again, they've put in a lot of deception. And that's where their leaders, their gods, are saying, not good. You need to make amends and clean this up, because now you've created tons more problems. Because now the channelers are not even going to trust you. And that's what happened with me last week when I went into ceremony. Point being, I'm feeling like I'm starting to be in telepathic communication. And when I read Corey Good's latest news on his news tab of his site, he said that they're all watching. I'm going to read this to you because you need to have this information. I've been freaking out with not knowing what to do with this inner earth thing and feeling like, is this real? Am I just channeling some crap? What is this? And I was also feeling recruitment energy, like pressure. And I thought, this is not good. This pressure, I don't like that. That's recruitment. So what's going on? So this is what Corey said. He said, Kari takes me to visit the working ancient builder race outpost on Venus. Okay, so they've now teleported to Venus. He says there's these outposts all over the place in the universe, and especially this solar system. He said, we arrive and are met by a giant, long, narrow craft that had a blast shield over the windows of what would be the bridge of their craft. We sat there for about 20 minutes before Car E told me we had been turned back. As I looked, I could see several other of these large, narrow craft around Venus with their noses pointed down toward the surface and the rear of the vessels pointing away from the planet into space. While waiting, Kari and I spoke about a few individuals as well as how concerned the Anshar, and that's her people down there, are with people actively reaching out for them mentally, yet receiving contact from other beings. The reason the Anshar requested the meeting to make changes to the treaty is that they were considering a more active role with the surface populations. They are keeping an eye on the highly programmed nature of humanity and our response to knowing the Anshar exist. They have been troubled by some of the signs they have seen, and some of their group has raised these concerns in their recent council meetings. Now, what to do with this? I'm about to start the Priestess of the Dove program, and last Wednesday in ceremony, they're like, we need channelers on the surface to transmit our information, just like at Delphi. And I'm like, holy cow, if I'm going to have my priestesses even remotely get involved in this or make contracts, I need to know, have more proof that you exist and what you are, and that this is not some disinformation that Corey is riffing off of and whatever.
Right.
And so I was getting weird, disturbing feelings, and I think that I was intercepted, that I wasn't, You know, and then I was getting that car E was just saying, just tune into me. Just tune into me. So this is getting back to this whole telepathic question. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so how beings communicate among themselves, how they're communicating with us. We're all trying to be raised up to telepathic communication, but then it can be intercepted.
But how do we know if it's being intercepted?
How do we what?
How do we know if we're being intercepted?
Well, what I'm shown by Sanat Kumara, I don't know if you saw my post this past week, Sunday, okay, and then that channeling there, he's like, you have to get back to the love.
Mm-hmm.
Is what's being told to you, does it reflect love and wholesomeness or not?
Yeah.
Focus on that.
Yeah.
And we have to talk in community. And I'm going to be talking in the program about validity tests for channeled information. There's no fail-proof test, but there's different things we can do, like share it with one another. Is this making sense? Does it validate what you're getting? Or is it at odds? Or do you feel like there's a maybe something that got inserted there that I should be aware of, or what?
Yeah.
So coming back and home to you, I want you to riff on this now. I'm inviting you to riff, either through light language or human language, English.
You're inviting me right now?
Yep.
Telewe te me oa kai mua hoa. Tolobowe moe tole hitu kumeno lua pe wa kama uetola. Te baeola ama haki wa hinamo nubu pu tukuli pina mawaba pawa hata. De menu mumrun kina mola eta bulebada monumuku abiti bulapo. Te wa me oala te tukumi numu, pe rui amene muata. The world of Pino Moka, Eotola Meno, Ulebuka, Munuimo, Data, Tailu, Kuapa Hapa, the bully Pina Makiwa, Apawa, would do we bula a Nemo Kiula woe? There were new Kuama, Kola, La Ata, Kola, Ama O, I peel to eater, bully Pita Makuipi, Do Ama O, Apa, Tadiki, Namome, Do Le Pe, or Apa Mui, Eteki Muiala. Dabibitu ila ami kue pita awala pati na mamui pipi kue ala pipipo a mamamui pikitu. Te tomei puto kua. Te la ama awita pai piwateka. To bibi, to ma api kani numi pipi wita. Tai wa tai ma kui. To lo kua ma api hata wama. Hoa maa ki au li piwi timi tuale peko. He bu apa niki hati biwa lapa o apa be mi mua. Doi hiena ka, he bu apa. Te buipi ka mui iau la pu. Te we ka maa. Do pu opa pi hiha. Te we ki.
Okay. So tell me what you sensed and felt from that, and then I'll share as well.
Well, I feel like there's nothing more powerful in the world than coming from your heart. There's nothing that can trump love. We know when we're connecting with love, and I feel like I just got a scolding about how can you even consider that there's anything stronger on than that. That is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, we always know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was lots going on there, but that's all I could.
Great.
I mean, I felt very.
Great. Great. Okay, great. Shall I share?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I felt it was two different beings speaking, both female. The first was, a little tough love there. And then the second one was giving like the antidote into the love. And the first one, I felt once again, Lemuria, mm-hmm. Hawaii, as the remnant pineal gland or whatever of Lemuria. And how she was saying that this is how we operated in Lemuria, and things started going down in Lemuria. And it's all about, and then the second one was all about, like, yeah, connecting with the lushness, connecting with the love of Mother Earth that's so pleasant, and because Lemuria was so pleasant, you know, and connecting with the gentleness. And they were both kind of saying that the feminine, because the feminine got disempowered or disrespected or attacked or something, this iteration of what we know started going down. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was like a return to love, a return to the love that is nature, a return to the love that is in nature. So let's ask for information about the inner earth civilizations. Do they exist, or what's going on here? Do you want to channel, or shall I?
I'm not getting a whole lot.
Okay.
So please.
Okay. So what I'm getting is that, well, some of the Lemurians went in to the ocean. When they say they went into the ocean, it means that they went into domains down there. And that's just one of the regions where they've gone out of radar, so to speak. That's a piece that people don't understand. When they say that Atlantis went down, that Lemuria went down or sunk or whatever, it means that the people went inside the ocean or inside the earth. Some of them died in the transition, or left their body, let's say, chose not to go on that journey. They chose to leave the body, come back at another time, what have you. Are you getting anything past that you want to start in on, or?
I feel like there was, you know, the writing was on the wall, and so some of this, I see it sort of it going in three directions. That in order to preserve all that beautiful stuff that was all good, was good about Lemuria, some of it was retained by maybe the pure beings that were able to hold it and keep it. And I feel like they retracted, and I just see like a mom opening her arm, and you know, these people running under her big protective arm, and you know, going into protection and just holding, just waiting and holding, like a seed holding all the information in the earth, waiting for the time to germinate again, you know, when it's safe. And then I see other beings sort of scattering across the water, you know, like little ripples that spread towards other parts of the world, yeah, that still held a little bit of that information, but not in its purest form.
Right.
And then I see beings that chose to kind of leave the earth and hold sort of the... I'm seeing them not incarnate, maybe, I don't know, like I see them sort of more being held by the sky gods, if you will.
Huh. Abducted or?
No, more like, and this might be naive, but just waiting for the right time on earth again, for the sun to come out, shine on these seeds that hold this beautiful information, and that Mother Earth has, Gaia has such integral, beautiful knowledge, and she knows when it's time to push those seeds up again.
Yeah.
And that the sun will shine on those and bring that, all that information again, like the hologram, you know, the hologram all contained in the seed.
Yeah.
So I'm maybe seeing a more sort of, maybe a more euphoric and maybe not realistic version of...
No, I think that's great. I think that's fantastic.